So, blessed are the meek. So we've been. This is the third beatitude. Jesus talking to his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount. The word blessed is used in the Beatitudes, and the commentators talk about it as like a more than just blessed. A close translation is happy, but it's like a godlike joy, a serene, untouchable joy. And Vincent and Julie shared the first week. I guess if you could sum it up, Beatitudes are, you're a Christian, so live like this. That's kind of a good definition. And I read somewhere that the Beatitudes are a bit of a measuring stick or a litmus test for our hearts. And you can see the heart. I've tried to superimpose a heart on that thing there. So this morning, as we talk about this and as we draw close to God and continue in our worship, perhaps God might put the litmus paper in our hearts and just test how they are this morning. I know when I was preparing this word and reading, and God starts to bring the mirror in front of your face and go, oh, that's me. And you go, oops. And you get that hum of the Holy Spirit, kind of just a little nudge to say, that might be you. Oh, man. And these Beatitudes, they seem quite difficult, but they are attainable. Julie spoke about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And when we think about the poor in spirit, poor sounds a bit of a negative word, but actually, it's those who know their need of God, isn't it? And then Dad last week spoke on, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And for some reason, I just assumed it was bereavement, you know, somebody dying, being sad for that, but it wasn't. Anybody, kind of, was that a fresh revelation to anybody? About blessed are those who mourn, it's about mourning for repentance, the sorrow of repentance, recognising our sin and dealing with that. So this is what I'm supposed to be speaking on. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. What does meek mean? Or what words are closely associated with meek? Okay, young adults, any ideas? Humble, yeah.
Gentle.
Looking very intelligent this morning. Submissive, ready to listen, yeah. Very good. Strong. Yeah. Submissive, there's two submissives there, good. I feel like this is going to be... has anyone watched the National Lottery thing when they do the... He Who Dares Wins, or whatever it's called. And I want to say it's not on the list. But it is on the list. So those are sort of the main words. So, yeah, I think we've got most of those. Submissive is a good one. That's not on there. Okay, now somebody's already asked my next question. What's the opposite of meek? If you could say meek's over here, what's over here?
Arrogant.
Pride, yeah, arrogant.
Contentious.
Assertive, oh.
Aggressive,
oh.
Self-serving.
Self-serving.
Impatient.
Selfish. Is it on the list? It is on the list. Unfortunately, you don't win any money. Self-interest, yeah.
Vengeance.
They're just some of them. These aren't sort of a full list, but it's just trying to help us think, really. Meek is one of those words that we don't really use. Well, I don't use it every day. I can't remember the last time I used it, other than this morning, probably. And I think in our culture, some of those words up there, we can put spin on them, like perhaps like aggressive. We can maybe call it, or that's just seen as being courageous or being dynamic, you know. And sometimes society, our culture, can put that thing on it, you know, particularly in business. And meekness, equally, I think people probably associate meekness with being weak or feeling like people can walk all over you. So that's kind of our context this morning, that word of meek. So it's a bit of an obscure word. It reminds me of joy. It's one of those, you don't hear joy used in everyday language. You say you're happy, do you? Well, I mean, perhaps in a church context, but if you walked into a... Are you feeling joyful this morning? People don't say, they say, how are you? Are you happy? It just reminded me of that. It'd be interesting to know if we asked our friends and neighbours, our work colleagues, what they thought meekness meant. Interesting to see what responses we get. I think they probably go along probably the weak side, possibly. Could be wrong. So what is Jesus talking about when he talks about being meek? He's actually quoting from the Old Testament, from Psalm 37, which says, "But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity." And I expect the disciples would have known this passage, and they were probably looking at each other going, "Hello, we've heard this before somewhere." So helpful ways to understand meek. Meek is being humble and gentle to others whilst having a true estimate of ourselves. That brings to mind immediately that verse in Romans, which I didn't know, I had to look it up. "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Another definition of meekness is humility. Know our ignorance, our need, our weakness. And meekness, in the Authorised Version, is the fruit of the Spirit. So where it says gentleness, the Authorised Version says meekness. Which again, I didn't know. I've learned a lot in this preach. And you know when you're preparing something, and I'm sort of thinking, there's some good stuff here. This preacher's going to be good. Yeah. And then I go, hold on a minute, this message is on meekness. Yeah, that was a bit of a light bulb moment coming on there. There's some other translations for the verse, just to kind of help you. Some people might get something a bit more out of these than sort of the other translations. So the Good News says, "Happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised." The Living Bible says, "The meek and lowly are fortunate, for the whole wide world belongs to them." And the Message says, "You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought." It's a good one, isn't it? I'm not quite sure how he got proud into a verse about meekness, but it kind of works. So there isn't a direct translation for the word that's used in the Bible for that Greek word. So the closest is meek. Gentle or humble are very close as well. Now the Greeks in that time would have used the word in relation to an animal which has been domesticated. Sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? But like a taming of an animal, or like the breaking of a horse, coming under submission, which you had. Submission, very good. And you can see my opening picture was some pictures of some horses being rounded up. Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that rules his spirit is better than he who takes a city." Interesting, isn't it? Sounds like it's harder to rule a spirit than to take a city. I haven't taken many cities, so I don't know, but I would guess. I'm going to show you a couple of videos. See what you can pick up from this. Have we got the sound? Yeah. It's okay to laugh. It was supposed to be funny. And then the next one as well. In the 1980s, so you I remembered this from ages ago, and I couldn't remember. I didn't realise it was Carl Lewis actually running in those adverts. And when he kind of finishes running, he lifts up his sole of his shoe, and he's got a pretty tired tread on his foot to sort of sell the tires, obviously. Power is nothing without control. The commentators, again, they interpret this verse in a couple of similar ways. One says, the bliss of the controlled life. Or, blessed is the man who has every instinct, every impulse, every passion under control. The meek don't throw their weight around. The meek don't assert their superiority over others. Meekness is power under control. But it's not us, it's God. Coming under his submission, a bit like that picture of the wild horse being tamed. So perhaps, although there is self-control, it's God-controlled self-control, because we can't do it without God. And just thinking, there's times in our life when God tames us a bit more severely than perhaps other times. And Samantha and Abby, when they've been growing up, in moments of confrontation, we say to them, do you want to do it the hard way or the easy way? And sometimes they choose the hard way, which usually means me grabbing hold of them and moving them from one place to another. And sometimes they choose the easy way. But sometimes we choose the hard way with God, don't we? For whatever reason. And I think sometimes he probably lets us go the hard way. Oh, that's just the way it's going to be. And I was just thinking, it's not about the end result. It's how we get there. It's the journey. So that's just as important. Who's, don't have to ask this or not, who's on Facebook? Not yet. Yeah? I'm on Facebook, but I don't really look at it. It doesn't really count. But I have been this week seeing some of the videos. Look back thing, I don't know what it's called. I'm showing my age. But I was just thinking, wouldn't it be silly if they just done one picture at the beginning, one at the end? It wouldn't have meant anything, but actually it was the bits in between that made the difference. It was the journey to the last date. We've also been speaking about, in eldership, just talking about vision and mission and all that kind of stuff, where we go. And yes, we want probably something at the end that says, okay, we're heading in this direction. But the talking about it is just as important. Praying about it and sharing with one another and trying to hear our hearts and God's heart on it, the process of it, is just as important with the final as the final document. Kind of into the last little chunk of what I'm going to say. I found an interesting quote from A.W. Tozer on what a meek man is. I'm just going to read it to you. The meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he may be in his moral life as bold as a lion and as strong as Samson. But he has stopped being fooled about himself. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows he is weak and helpless as God has declared him to be, but he knows at the same time that he is in the sight of God of more importance than angels. In himself nothing, in God everything. That is his motto. The meek man knows well that the world will never see him as God sees him, and he has stopped caring. He rests perfectly content to allow God to place his own values. He will be patient to wait for the day when everything will get its own price tag and real worth will come into its own. Then the righteous shall shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. The meek man is willing to wait for that day. It's good, isn't it? Kind of sums up the whole of my preach, which is good. Maybe I should have just read that. But that's from a book called The Pursuit of God, which I haven't read fully, but it's a good book. I want to kind of sum up all those different things that I've shared already this morning. And all anointed sermons have three points, I'm told. But I haven't got 3 points. but I have got an acrostic. Does anyone know what an acrostic is? I used to think it was a cross stick, but it's not. First one, manage yourself, controlling yourself. And I suppose maybe this is where discipleship fits in. We've been talking about discipleship again in eldership. And I was just thinking it's probably harder for somebody to come to you and point out an area of correction that's needed in your life than God doing it sort of personally to you. That's tough, isn't it? And receiving that, you've got to be fairly meek to do that. And there's a time and a place for that. So it's being willing to receive correction and also being bold to give it as well. Samantha was this morning, I can't remember what she was doing. Well, we were asking her what she wanted for her birthday, which she had a party yesterday. She's got her birthday next week. And she said she wanted different Lego and different things. And Fiona said, what about clothes? Do you want any clothes? She said, yeah, well, I need some leggings because all the leggings I've got are just like plain and boring. And I said, but the plain leggings are there because you wear such colourful tops and random shapes and things that if it was all crazy, then you'd look crazy. So her response was, you've got so much to learn about fashion, Daddy. Now, women's fashion. Which is probably a little bit true. I think I'm quite good, my wife might say. But I was just thinking, she was right. She was speaking probably a little bit of truth there. But it was the way she said it. And I think the way we manage ourselves, sometimes it's not about getting it wrong. It's about how we do it and how we say it. And just going back to the previous two Beatitudes, the first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, knowing your need of God, and then the second one, having a sorrow of repentance, which in turn leads to meekness. It seems like these Beatitudes are in a bit of an order. So actually, first of all, we need to know our need of God first, and then out of that comes repentance. And then we can move on to the meekness part. Because if we don't know we need God, then we're not going to move on. I think it's a conscious commitment to manage ourselves. Something that with Vincent and I, kind of having a discipleship relationship, there was a phrase he had for me, a conscious Christianity. Just being aware and intentional of what I do, how I think, and not sort of just doing life, but actually deciding to do things. Okay, what are we on? E is after M, isn't it? Example of Jesus. So there's only two people in the Bible where the word meek is directly attributed to. One is Jesus. Anybody know who the other one is?
Moses.
Oh, hello. Speaking to the right people. Very good. There are others that would be kind of inferred as being meek or doing meek type things, but it's just the word. So I don't want you to go away and look in your Bible and say, well, that was meek. There's lots of people that probably did. So Jesus as an example. It's probably coming back to that song we sung actually this morning. Draw me close to you. Spending time with Jesus as our example. And I think it's okay also that we not only look at Jesus' example, but we can see Jesus in others. So it's okay to say, actually, I see something in Darren of Jesus that I want to mimic. And I don't think that's a wrong thing. And for a long time I thought, oh, well, that seems a bit weird. But if there's Jesus being outworked in Darren's life, then it's okay. It's good. I hope that's true, Darren. He's pulled me a funny face there. We'll have a chat afterwards. It's about attitude, having the same attitude or mindset as Christ, as our example. And the verse that, again, pops up straight away is Philippians 2. Your attitude should be that of the same of Christ Jesus. And then Jesus talks later about taking on his yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I need a volunteer, Tim Burgess, because I know you won't mind if I hurt you. Tim is pretty solid. This is something that someone did to me. Dave Richards did this to me, so I've got an opportunity to get someone back with this. He was speaking on being yoked to Jesus. Just bend. I'm not going to hurt you, I promise. So when you're yoked, you're tight like this. And if I go this way, Tim's got to come. Or if I bend down, he's going to come. But if he doesn't go the way that I want to go, Tim, go that way. There's a problem. Thanks, Tim. You're a good lad. I remember that because Dave Richards embarrassed me. I think it was at a celebration and he got me in a headlock. But, yeah, that's being yoked. That's our example from Jesus. Eternal perspective. So it's what is to come. There is a reward. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So it's an inheritance, something that we will get given. It's not us going into the world, taking it, or conquering it. That's not what Jesus is saying. We're inheriting it. K is for kingdom. Kingdom, not culture. In the world, but not of it. Engaging with the culture, but still maintaining a counterculture type edge to it. It's a bit of a big discussion. Do we kind of immerse ourselves in the culture of what's going on, or mini cultures in our society? It's a balance, isn't it, I think, that we need to be involved in what people are doing so we can have connections, but actually maintaining that thing of being Christians. And meekness is one of those things, those words. It reminds me of what Jeremy Russell was talking about when we were talking about the kingdom, about them colliding. Meekness is one of those collision points, because the world kind of sees it as a bit of a foreign word, I think. And that's where the rubber hits the road, as it were, a little bit. So I'm just going to sum up here. Kind of go back to that picture of the horse being tamed. Have you seen those? I don't know if you've seen, you can either tame a horse or break a horse by jumping on it and it going crazy and breaking it till its will is suppressed. Or there's those slow techniques where you gradually walk the horse around and you kind of get to know it, and takes a lot longer, takes days to do rather than instantaneously. And again, I think God kind of can do those type of things in different ways, in different seasons of our lives. And I was just thinking, it's about lordship, isn't it? Those baptisms we had the other week, they're making a decision to hand over their lives to God, the lordship of their life over to Jesus. It's a big thing. I was trying to think what meekness was. How would it be outworked in my life? It's probably responding in gentleness once when someone winds you up, particularly if they deliberately wind you up. Or for me, it's being a little bit less quick-tempered with my children. That was my hum of the Holy Spirit. And if God is dealing with you, we're all in it together. I saw Barney arrive this morning, whipping off his magnetic L plates off his car. But we're all learners, aren't we? We're all in it together. And there was a time when Abby, when was it? It was just before Christmas, no, was it just after Christmas, in the supermarket, and she kept saying this thing to me: "Hang in there, Joan. Hang in there, Joan." Who is Joe? No, it's Joan, Daddy. Hang in the Joan. Hang in the Joan. I just get on about it. And it was just for days until we worked out what she was saying. Has anyone seen Disney's Frozen? Yeah. Let's see your hands. Come on, let's see your hands. Don't be shy now. No, you're very good. Yeah. It's good, isn't it? But there's a scene in it when there's a picture of Joan of Arc on the wall, and she basically, her sister is not playing with her, so she starts talking to the pictures on the walls. And Joan of Arc is one of them. So she says, "Hang in there, Joan," like this. And it's in the middle of a song. So Abby listens to it. She goes to sleep sometimes. And so that's where it's come. But I've said it like this because I want you to remember it. But there's a place for us to say to each other, "Hang in there, Joan." You know, we're all in this together in our journey, whether God's dealing with us harshly or softly or whatever God is doing in our lives. We need to be a bit more encouraging one another, because sometimes we don't know what to say, do we? If we're going through a tough time, we try and say things and it comes out stupid, or it seems awkward, or I'll just give you a hug. But sometimes we just need to say, "Hang in there." So if you see Abby, say, "Hang in there, Joan," and she'll go, "Wow." But maybe you can say it to each other. It's a light way to do it. You know, if we're struggling, say, "Hang in there, Joan." You won't forget that now, will you? I hope not. And I think I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to pray and then I'll hand back. That's right. Lord, I just want to ask and invite your Holy Spirit to continue to move amongst us. Say thank you for that song we sang where you were on it, you were moving. And in some ways, we just want to come back to that moment again and stay there. And just let you draw us close to you afresh. Thank you that when we take a small step towards you, you take a giant leap back towards us. And Lord, I just pray whatever you've spoken to us in that time, that Holy Spirit nudge. Lord, maybe where we haven't been as gentle as we should be, where we haven't been as self-controlled as we should be, Lord, would you forgive us? Lord, we want to be changed to be more like you, Lord Jesus. And we realise it's a process, and sometimes there's more of it than other times. But we're in it together. And would you help us and encourage us to move on together, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.